step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 623. My name is Lisa Sheps. I will be your host for the day. I am joined today, as I am most Wednesdays, by my intrepid co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. You are listening.
Good afternoon. Good day and good night. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Folks, this is pre-recorded and homegrown. Don't go away.
Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah. Grab your tea in your suitcase. Thunder's rolling down this track. Well, you don't know where you're going now, but you know you won't be back.
Well, it is Wednesday, June 30th, the final day of Pride. On the show today, we are joined by Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare and their show Much Ado About Nothing. We are also joined later by Adam Roberts and his new podcast, or not so new anymore, called Con la Voce. We'll be right back after this song. That song that we just heard was called Land of Hope and Dreams. And of course, you could recognize the singer from it just by the voice, right?
I guess so.
I'm laughing because Nicole didn't hear it, but I think recognize it if we played it for you, but okay. It is the boss, Bruce Springsteen, from his show Springsteen on Broadway, because Broadway has opened up.
100%. Yep.
Broadway is now open, full capacity, although you do have to show your passport for vaccinations. So much so that it caused an anti-vaxxers protest across the street from the theater.
Yes, I saw that. I was like, oh, okay. I'll tell you what I found the curious, though, from the whole evening, is that they announced they will not be sharing the Broadway grosses weekly on this specific show.
Right. Well, you're getting a little ahead of us. We're going to talk about that next. So we'll just, let's put a pin in that and talk about that in a second, because it's a bigger issue than just this one show. But the big news is that from March 11th to June 26th,
I think,
Broadway's been closed and now it is open. And we do have a schedule of upcoming openings Passover. Antoinette Nwando's show is going to be the next show to open, with the first preview on August 4th. Hadestown is going to be September 2nd. And Hamilton, Lion King, and Wicked all opening on September 14th.
Coming up.
Yep. But the boss
opening another show.
The boss gets a month and almost a week to be by himself on Broadway.
Yes. And who was it? Was it Nathan Lane that said he was going to be his understudy?
I did not hear that, but sounds good.
Yeah, I was laughing really hard. I think it was Nathan Lane, but someone was all like, I'm his understudy. And I was cracking up.
So here's an interesting thing about Springsteen on Broadway at the St. James. We said everybody's got to be vaccinated, but to walk in the theater, you need to wear a mask, which you're allowed to take off as soon as you hit your seat, which makes zero sense to me.
I was all like, okay. And it was worded weird. Like, you had to show your vaccination passport to get in there. And then it says vaccinated persons may take off their masks at their seat. And I'm like, well, aren't you vaccinated if you just had to get, this is a very redundant.
Yeah. It's a little crazy. Mm-hmm. But so that's an interesting thing. We don't know what the COVID-19 protocols will be for the next shows that open for Passover, but Passover is supposed to be just amazing.
I know. Isn't that at the August Wilson Theater? I believe
so. I don't know. It doesn't, the thing I'm reading doesn't say, and I will apologize to my listeners. There are dogs in the background barking. I cannot control them. So I have no control.
They have a new musical they're working on and they're just testing it out for our audience.
That's true. That's true. So back to what you said about the Broadway League not announcing the grosses for Springsteen. It's interesting. I did not realize that has always been. So every Monday, they announce the grosses for the week. And they've been doing that since forever, as far as I can know. But it has always been voluntary. This has not been something that's mandated by anything.
I didn't realize that either. Because then when they were like, Springsteen's not going to do it. And I'm like, why do they get to? And yeah.
And one's going to assume, knowing the Broadway League as we do, that the Broadway grosses may be history in general. So it's not just Springsteen. They're not announcing Springsteen, but he's the only one open right now. I bet you donuts to dollars that they say we're not going to do it anymore. And it's, you know, and the grosses have been, you know, a problem for shows that aren't doing very well. So we're going to forget my terminology, but, and it was just happened recently with, it was one of the shows that was in last season that they lost their Broadway house because the Broadway theaters have an out clause. If your grosses dip beyond it. Oh. And then they, from word of mouth, they started doing 100%, but that was too late. The Broadway landlords. It was Beetlejuice. Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
And so that's actually.
Music Man got in. They used that clause to get Music Man in.
Right. That could be a direct result of having those grosses available to folks so if I'm somebody that's looking for a Broadway show and I'm coming to New York to visit and I have a chance to see something that's selling out versus something that's not selling very well, my thinking is I'm going to go want to see the sellout one because that's, quote, better than the one that's not selling well. Whether or not that's true is moot. So let's listen to our first guest. And that is Austin Shakespeare, Young Shakespeare. And this was such a fun interview, don't you think?
It was a really fun interview. And I just, you know, I have a special place, but on top of it, it was just a fun interview.
Great. Well, let's give it a listen right now. Nicole, I love our next guest. They come on the show quite often and it's always a delight.
I know, I'm kind of excited myself. I personally have a little special love for all these people and I'm super excited.
I know you do. I'm tempted to just keep talking about the possibility of them coming on and keeping our listeners in suspense.
I know. Do you think they know who it is?
Of course they do. It is Young Shakespeare, part of Austin Shakespeare. And we have a good crowd here with us today. We have the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare and co-host of Offstage and On the Air, Ms. Ann Ciccolella. Hi.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and so happy the show continues to go on.
It does go on. And it's nice to know we should tell folks that you are in the New York City Public Library right now, it looks like.
Yes, on Zoom.
On Zoom.
In the reading room.
And we have new to the show and co-director of this piece, Nancy Ironman. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And I should tell folks that this piece is Much Ado About Nothing, which many people say that about Offstage and On the Air, but that's another story. We have three of the actors. We have Allie Koenig. Hi, Allie.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
You are quite welcome. Noah Berry.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
And MJ Scott, the cool person with initials, is a name.
Hello. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be on air.
You are quite welcome. Hold on. My phone is beeping. I have to turn it off.
It's not me.
No, it's me. Oh, it's my timer. I have things I have to do right now. So Nancy or Ann, tell us about this show.
Well, I'll start off, and Nancy can tell you a little more about the look of it. Much Ado About Nothing is a well-known romantic comedy because it has that trope of two people who are in love with each other, but just rag on each other all the time. And that's how they deal with each other. So I think of Moonlighting, I think of Nora Charles and the old movies and so on. But Nancy, would you tell everybody a little bit about the look and feel of the design of the piece? And I do want to say before I forget, this is the most young Shakespeare actors we've ever had.
The most in terms of numbers?
21 young people, yes.
The release and looked at that and went, that's a really big cast.
Little double casting. So it's been a lot of fun to have this wonderful group. But Nancy, tell us about 1910 and Ragtime and all that.
Yeah, so we, our word for the show is exuberance. So we are really embracing the time period 1910s. Lots of fun costuming. Of course, you're talking an era of fun hats and the suspenders and the vests and the long skirts and the straw hats that the women would wear. So really a lot of fun costuming. The sets, we're talking pastels, whites, really just a sweet set. A lot of it takes place outdoors, like in a garden area. And the music, so we have singing and we have dancing and we're using music from that time period. So a little ragtime type waltz. We have live singing, which anytime you can do anything with dancing and live singing in Shakespeare, it's just delightful. And we have some really talented singers in our cast that will delight you with their singing. And of course, at the end of every Austin Shakespeare, Young Shakespeare show, we dance a jig. So that'll be at the end, but it's a really exuberant show with lots of beautiful costumes and design.
And we are doing it outdoors at the Curtin Theater. And I know Allie's performed at the Curtin. Nicole and Elisa have been there. Nicole's been there many, many, many times.
Nicole has spent intimate times by herself out at the Curtin Theater working all the time. But what a magical space in general and blessing that we have in Austin. So I just love the Curtin.
Yep. And I want to talk a little bit more about the Curtin in a second, but I want to continue talking about the show. I just love the idea that you're setting this in the 1910s, stepping up to the roaring 20s. It sounds like a lot of fun. The show is so much fun to watch and so much fun to watch for people. Let's talk to some of your actors and find out what they're playing. Nora, what role or roles are you playing?
I am playing Beatrice in the show.
Ooh, Beatrice is a fun role. Are you having a good time?
Yes, I'm having so much fun. It's so much fun, especially working with MJ. She is so talented.
What do you love about the role of Beatrix? And tell us a little bit about Beatrix.
I love that she is a man hater. It's my favorite thing about her.
She is a man hater. Lovely.
I mean, we don't have a video up on this interview, but I wish everyone could see the smiles and the jumping around in the Zoom boxes, but it's kind of exciting.
Yes, that has got to be my favorite part and probably one of the most relatable ones. So I really like that about my character.
That's great. MJ, what are you playing?
Yes. Hello. I'm playing Benedick.
I was hoping that was going to be the answer. So this is the other half, and you are the person that Beatrice is man-hating on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And honestly, it's kind of well-deserved considering Benedick's everything. But he's a lovable jerk, you know? He's the type of person you love to rag on.
He's an LJ, as we say in the business.
Mm-mm.
A lovable jerk. Okay, and Allie, who are you playing?
I'm playing Dogberry, who is kind of the lead of plot B of the story. He is the constable of the neighborhood watch, and he cannot pronounce words or use words correctly whatsoever.
Give us an example of that, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, he says we are now to examination these men. He'll use redemption instead of perdition. There's just so much. He says knaves instead of knaves.
How much fun is that for an actor? That seems like a really good, fun role to play.
It is so, so much fun. It is just so fun to play a person who thinks he's like so smart and so like well represented in vocabulary and then like is not at all. So you have to do those two sides. It's so much fun.
So Nora, Ali, and MJ, who of you have been in Young Shakespeare plays in the past?
I believe it's just me, and this is my last and eighth year being a Young Shakespeare cast member.
Last and eighth year. And remind me where can they start and where do they end in terms of age?
It's supposed to be teens, so 19. We did have an actor that turned 20 during the program, I think. And we have accepted 12 and even 11-year-olds. Extraordinary.
Like, there's been an 11-year-old before. We've had an 11-year-old 1 year. I think it was 11 to 19 that year.
And we should say that Nicole, although I don't believe she does anymore, you were a producer or you did something with Young Shay. I don't even know what you did, but you were running the show.
Yeah, for the first 10 years, that was my baby. So I've actually gotten to work with Ali and MJ and Nora. I'm so sorry I have not, but for 10 years, that was me out there making magic, and I've worn a lot of different hats.
I know that whenever Anne brings a group of people on, we have some bits and pieces from the show we're going to do. Are we doing individual quotes as we normally do, Anne?
Actually, you're going to hear a little interaction of Beatrice and Benedick, and then we can just jump to a little bit of a Dogberry soliloquy, if you like.
All right. Well, so let's start with a little bit of scene between Beatrice and Benedick.
Lady Beatrice, have you wept all this while?
Yea, and I will weep a while longer.
I will not desire that.
You have no reason I do it freely.
Surely I do believe your fair cousin is wronged.
Ah, how much might the man deserve of me that would right her?
Is there any way to show such friendship?
A very even way. But no such friend.
May a man do it?
It is a man's office. But not yours.
I do love nothing in the world so well as you. Is not that strange?
As strange as the thing I know not. It were as possible for me to say I love nothing so well as you. But believe me not, yet I lie not. I confess nothing, no, I deny nothing. I am sorry for my cousin.
By my sword, Beatrice, you love me.
Do not swear and eat it.
I will swear by it that you love me, and I will make him eat it that says I love not you.
Will you not eat your word?
With no sauce that can be devised, I protest. I love thee.
Why then, God forgive me.
What offense, sweet Beatrice?
You stayed me in the happy hour. I was about to protest I loved you.
And do it with all thy heart.
I love you so much with my heart that there is none left to protest.
Come, bid me do anything for thee.
Kill Claudio.
What a wonderful scene. And I must say that when I eat my words, I always use sauce. And now I want to hear a little bit from Dogberry.
I am a wise fella enough, and which is more, an officer, and which is more, a householder, and which is more, as prettiest piece of flesh as ever was in a Messina. And one that knows the law, go to. And a rich fella enough, go to. And one that hath had losses, and one that has two gowns, and everything handsome about him. Bring him away! Oh, that I had been written down an ass!
I should have known that Dogberry was a Southern person. That is wonderful. That is awesome. Before I start talking about some of the deets of the show and some of the things we're doing, Nancy, I want to talk about how it was. And I'm assuming we were doing a lot of rehearsing through Zoom. I could tell because you guys had whenever you were doing a scene, everybody turned their cameras off. So there was definitely some tradition there that I was watching from Austin Shakespeare. So how was this process with working twofold with this group of obviously talented young folks? And doing it through Zoom.
Thanks. Yeah, we did start rehearsals on Zoom. We did 2 weeks. During that time, we worked on ensemble. We definitely tackled the script. What is important for us with Young Shakespeare is we include training. So it's not just, oh, go do this show and congrats. We want our young actors to build tools that they can use going forward. So a lot of our first initial rehearsals were about those, just learning what is Shakespeare, how do I speak it, what are some techniques? And then we started in the rehearsal space. So we have been very lucky this year. Last year, we kept Young Shakespeare alive, but we did the entire thing on Zoom, including the performance. And I know a lot of theater companies did, right? We all did. So this year, just being in the rehearsal space together has been an incredible gift that we're really never take for granted again, honestly. But what we're learning about these young people is they come with tons of experience. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what Nicole said, they're experts. They have such deep feeling and such a life experience and passion. Really what Young Shakespeare tries to do is just unlock it. We're not trying to pile up on them information. It's about them just being their best selves, which is what Austin Shakespeare is all about, right? Like being your best self. So it's just a joy to see them find their expertise and find their passion.
Wonderful. And as we mentioned earlier, this is done out at the Curtain, which is in Northwest Austin. It's wonderful outdoor theater, a replica of Shakespearean stage, right on the thing I call a river, and many people in this city call a lake.
It's a river dammed. That's what it is.
But that does not make a lake. But that's an argument for another time. So we're done out at the Curtain. We're still doing some social distancing. What else can y'all tell us about any kind of COVID-19 mitigation that you might be doing that people might be concerned about?
Sure. So we are doing social distancing out there. So it's completely outdoors. And for the first time, Nicole, you'll be interested. We're seating people at the groundling level. So that, and honestly, we've had so many people already buy tickets, early bird tickets, that we're concerned we're going to, you know, sell out opening night or something. But the groundlings don't have to sit at the Curtain for us. The groundlings will be seated, which is great. And you can sit in your pod in a booth and so on. But we're very excited. And we're going to have little handheld fans.
So I don't know why you need fans. It's not hot in Austin. But for those that don't know, can you explain what the groundlings level is?
So in Shakespeare's theater, the groundlings were people who paid a penny to stand on the ground. The stage is still 4 feet high at the Curtain, but you don't have to stand. We'll allow you to sit, even though we're still going to call you groundling. And those seats are a little different in price, I'll just say that.
Awesome. When does the show run, and where can people get information?
If they would like to come to austinshakespeare.org, our website, they'll see a drawing of the stage and the groundlings level and all that stuff. We open in two weeks from when we're recording this. So July 9th, and then we go till July 18th. So the first weekend is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. All performances are in the evenings. And the following week is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, ending on July 18th.
Wonderful. Well, I will tell folks it is a wonderful experience. I really enjoyed the times that I've come out there, and I will hopefully come out and see this one. Allie, Nora, and NJ, best of luck and break a leg. And then Nancy and Ann, thank you so much for being well, all of you, thank you for being on Offstage and on the Air.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having this wonderful show. It's such a gift to our community.
Oh, aren't you the sweet one?
It's true.
Okay, well, we'll see you next time. Excellent. We did it. That was fun. Ba-dum. All right, we're going to take a break, and we are going to come back after the break to the second half of the show. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
Sorry.
You're listening to Off Stage and on the Air with Lisa
and Nicole.
And we are
streaming live.
My mind, Nicole, just went totally blank. We are streaming live. We are pre-recorded. We are homegrown. We are family.
We are Chefs and Shiro, and we are here with some theater happenings and news.
So the piece of music that we played right before we came on air, you would have noticed had I told you what we were playing. But it is the song from Follies called "I'm Still Here,"
and I'm here,
and it's sung by Ms. Patti LuPone, and it is from the TV series Pose. Now, we talked about Pose last week, and I just have to pick up on this because I said all the Broadway connections, but I totally forgot to mention Miss Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone.
And it's funny, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything if I say this and you haven't seen Pose. She plays an evil landlord. And I mean, it's perfect.
Patti LuPone, think about it.
Evil landlord. And so when she showed up and I go, well, this is interesting. So, it makes sense. You know, there are times that Pose brings in music where, MJ Rodriguez can sing and Billy Porter can sing. And that makes sense. And I'm trying to figure out how they're going to make this evil landlord sing. And of course, They all do a fundraiser for AIDS in a hospital ward, and Patti LuPone interjects herself and comes in and says, "I sang in community theater. I'm going to sing a song," and she sang that song that you just heard when you came in. But I just wanted to let everybody know that we have more Broadway pedigree in that show.
I have a fondness for Follies.
Yeah, I know. And I've never seen it. I wanted to see it when it was revived not that long ago. But I didn't.
I had a friend in that show. Oh. Who was also in Spider-Man, ironically.
I don't know if it's ironic.
Earlier. So crazy. Well, we were just talking about Spider-Man like a week ago. That's why.
Okay, we were. Okay. So one of the things we didn't talk about when we were talking about the Tonys before, something I wanted to bring up is the Emmys. I don't know if you saw this article where they said that people can opt to not call themselves actor or actress.
They
can call themselves performers. And my notes are, as I say it, Emmys, performers, is it enough? I don't think it's enough. It still doesn't get rid of the category of best actor and best actress.
So not only can they call themselves that, they can have their statue and certificate state that also. So it won't say.
Right. But they should get rid of they should get rid of the category.
So I think this was their solution.
Oh, I know what it's, I know the reason, but it still doesn't.
To come in the middle. I mean,
it's a band-aid. It's not a solution.
I didn't say it was. All I'm saying is I think this is where they came at to try to get to, you know, to see both sides of the coin and get to somewhere. And I think this is what they came up with.
I know. But unfortunately, I don't think there are two sides to this coin. I think there's only one. It's like, be a performer. You don't have to gender it. But anyway, so I thought that was interesting. So let's see. I got to see what this next thing is that I have, cause I don't remember it on our notes. It says, "I'm still here." Oh yeah. I missed this. It was on June 23rd. It's a benefit for the Billy Rose Theater Division. And I put this in here because I really wish I knew about it. It was amazing. It was another Zoom benefit. I think you can still see it. It's a virtual benefit celebrating the 90th anniversary of the Billy Rose Theater Division of the New York City Public Library. Mm-hmm. But listen,
who's in it?
Well, there's too many to mention them all, but I'll go. This is in alphabetical order, and I'm just going to skip through them randomly. Annalee Ashford, Matthew Broderick, Jason Robert Brown, Savion Glover, Michael R. Jackson, Norman Lear, Ruthie Ann Miles, Bonnie Milligan, Rita Moreno, Felicia Rashad, Rebecca Teichman, I can never do her name either, Janine Tesori, Sergio Trujillo, and then those are people that were live, and that was just a list.
Yeah, my mouth is on the floor.
And then archival performances by Angela Bassett, Christian Borle, Tim Curry, Christine Eversole, Savion Glover again, Christopher Jackson, Bette Midler, Karen Olivo, and more. I mean, the list goes on and on. It was amazing. And we missed it.
Yeah, that's a stinker.
There is a link to this page on our website when you go to I'm Still Here, but it's on the New York Public Library website, nypl.org.
Well, that's a drag.
It's a drag. I think it's still viewable. I think you can still get tickets for it.
Well, I'm going to have to see what's up.
Me too. So there's a show called Chicken and Biscuits. Did you see this one?
I saw the Chicken and Biscuits. I didn't click on what was going on, but it called to me. And then I don't know why I got sidetracked.
Well, it's a play written by Douglas Lyons.
Okay.
And it stars Norm Lewis and Michael Urie.
That's an interesting combination.
It is indeed. It's a straight play. And this is directed by, I don't know this person, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his or their name, Zylan Levingston. It's going to be at Circle in the Square on September 23rd, opening on October 10th. It is a limited engagement with the stars. And it had its world premiere at Flushing Meadows at the Park in February of 2020, but had to end its run. So it's coming straight from the park, Queens Theater in the Park, to Broadway.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when we think of Norm Lewis, we typically think of a musical performance, but this is a straight play.
I mean, Norm's Norm. He's like one of those people. What can't you do?
He's the norm.
He's not the norm. That's just the whole thing. He is Norm.
He's the norm. So Annie Live is coming up.
Yes, so we learned a little more.
We learned a little more. So we had learned previously that, oh my God, what's her name?
For Miss Hannigan?
Yeah.
It's Taji P.
Yeah, Taji P. Henson. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And they announced Daddy Warbucks,
which is Harry Connick Jr.,
former guest of Offstage and On the Air.
I know. I was like, well, Lisa and I interviewed him.
Yeah. So you told me before we went on the air that you think this is very exciting.
Is Miss Hannigan is really spectacular and a smart casting choice. Like, I think she'll give it her own performance and do it up there on like Carol Burnett status kind of stuff in a Taji way. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think Carrie will give us the Daddy Warbucks that isn't like creepy like, because you know that I think Daddy Warbucks can get creepy like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's really why I appreciated Anthony Warlaw's performance on Broadway, that last revival. He was so endearing that it just made it beautiful and magical. And I think Harry has the chops that he could do that.
Oh God, he definitely has the chops to do that. Yeah. So very excited about that.
I'm curious to see what the rest of the cast is going to be.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I've said this many times in the show, so people will know, because whenever we talk about Annie, I say I've never seen a live performance of it. So this will be the next so best
crazy
thing.
To me.
I know. So we've talked about on this show that our very dear friend, Adam Roberts, who is a big time musical everything in Austin.
He's a musical everything. I like that.
He is a Renaissance theater person. So he is a mm-hmm. teacher. He is a director. He is a choreographer. He is a writer. He is a theater artistic director. There's nothing he doesn't do. And he's a very, very nice man.
He is.
So we've talked about it on this program, but not with him. So he has a new podcast, not so new now. It's probably 2 or 3 months old. It's called Cola Voce. And I had a chance to sit down and talk with him with a very brief 5-minute interview. So let's listen to that interview right now. I don't want to say anything more because there could be spoilers. There could be spoilers. Okay, I'm going to break in here. I am sitting here with Adam Roberts, who is an oftentimes guest and co-host on Offstage and On the Air. And we've talked about it on this show. I've mentioned it. I think I may have played a little piece of it once before. But Adam has entered into the podcasting world with, I just about said sotto voce, but it's collo voce.
It's so close. Collo voce.
And I want to hear about how you started Cola Voce. What does Cola Voce mean? And why do I want to come and listen to this?
Sure. Well, you know, Lisa, you have inspired a lot of people in the theater community and your work to be thinking more about how can we as a community, particularly of white individuals, work to amplify the voices of our colleagues and our friends who are of a variety of different backgrounds, a variety of different cultural experiences. And so during the pandemic, I thought one small way could be a podcast. As a vocal coach, I'm always interested in hearing about the ways in which both the literal voice and the figurative voice play together and play out in people's lives who are making impact in the world. And so I thought, what better way, particularly when we were solely digital, really, than to start a podcast where I talked to some folks that I'm so privileged to know and get to know their stories a little more behind their backgrounds and their voices.
That's cool. And I know the podcast is very young, but just to put you on the spot, do you have a favorite guest so far?
You know what's funny? I just interviewed this guest this week, and her name was Lisa Sheps. And I have to say, Lisa Sheps brought some really good stuff to the table. So I hope folks will check it out.
Okay, this is going to sound ingenuous, but I totally was not fishing for that.
and I'm so aware.
Well, I want to tell folks that other people that have been on the show, Michelle Alexander, J. Quentin Johnson, who has not been on the show, but is known very well to Austin audiences, were some of your recent guests and amazing interviews, I should say. I really enjoy the podcast, and I hope it has a great long life and lots of very interesting people. Do you plan to... Most of your guests right now have kind of had an Austin hit to them. Do you plan to go stay Austin or go out of the Austin city limits?
Well, there certainly is no dearth of folks in Austin that I could talk to. So the podcast could go on for decades and still have plenty of Austin stories. But I think we'll see where things head and, what the listenership grows to, if you will, and see then whether we go to some other cities and some other locations and talk to some folks there as well.
Awesome. And so I don't think you ever directly answer the question, what does Cola Voce mean literally?
You're so right. Con la voce means follow the voice. So it's a score marking that as a musician you might see as an accompanist, say, when your direction as a pianist is to specifically follow what the singer might do. It sort of also means freely, which I think is really cool because it has this implication that there's going to be a freedom that the vocalist has in this moment. And I think also the freedom that is inherent in our voices and our stories is something that the podcast endeavors to illuminate.
Cool. And if our listeners want to learn about music theory, I challenge you to go listen to the last two episodes with Quentin, because boy, they talked a lot of theory. My head was spinning.
We did get into it.
Just in case my listeners are interested, do you have a date when my piece will air?
I absolutely do. We talked extensively about the trans voice and the trans experience through Lisa's eyes and own story. And so we are going to make that available on the last day of June, which will coincide with the last day of Pride Month.
Awesome. And where can folks get this podcast?
You can follow this podcast and subscribe and listen to it, any one of those three things, on Spotify and also on Apple.
Right. Apple Podcasts, which I still call iTunes.
Right. I almost did, and then I had to think Apple. Yes.
And I should tell folks that we are on Zoom, so I'm able to see Adam's lovely face in all its glory. And behind him are a slew of B. Iden Payne Awards. And some other imagery. So we're talking to a god here. So the podcast is really a good one, in my opinion.
Well, Lisa, thank you. Thank you for way overblowing my status. but I'll take it.
It's all true. Thanks for being on Offstage and on the air again.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. There was that interview. So you have learned that his most recent guest, which is coming out today, June 30th for the end of Pride, as our show comes out, is he interviewed me. So you can head over me. So he can head over. Well, you knew that because he said it in the interview.
I know. I'm just I was doing promo for.
So there is a link to his Spotify link. On our website, Offstage On Air, and you can pick it up there or you can get it on iTunes. There's lots of places you can get it. But it was really fun. I was very nervous going into the interview, but he made me feel very at ease. So good for him.
Well, I can't wait to go listen to you, Lisa.
Yeah. So another local thing I want to talk about is Coleman Domingo's play Dot. Mm-hmm. Which will have an Austin premiere here next year. But he is adapting it to a TV series for AMC Studios.
I saw that and I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, so it's really, really great. And it's going to be called West Philly Baby is the name of it. But Dot tells the story of a Black family and dealing with their aging mother and dementia. And it's an amazing piece. I don't think it's a secret that I say that Ground Floor Theater will be doing it in spring of next year, directed by the incomparable Lisa B. Thompson.
Who has an interesting connection to the piece as well.
Correct. She is thanked in the...
and her mother's photo was one of the pictures that was on stage on the set on Broadway.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't even know it was on Broadway.
Or is it anyway, off Broadway?
When it might have been off Broadway. I don't think it was on Broadway. It was done at Actors Theater of Louisville, and it was done at the Vineyard Theater in New York. So cool. So that is good for everybody involved and very happy for Coleman Domingo, who will be making a trip to Austin as of now for our premiere as well.
That's
very
exciting. Excited
about that.
Me too.
So I think probably before we aired last week's show, but after you and I had recorded it, they announced the special Tony Awards. Now, I don't really give a doohickey about the Tony Awards this year, but The special Tony Awards are going to David Byrne's American Utopia and Freestyle Love Supreme. And I don't know if has Freestyle Love Supreme announced a reopening?
I haven't heard one.
And so the third special Tony Award is going to the Broadway Advocacy Coalition, which totally well-deserved.
Right.
This is something that has come up after George Floyd and is making those of us who are producing theater really look at our processes and how we've acted over the past millennia and trying to change ways so that we're a little less racist and more open to diverse casting. But I will say this, and I think maybe you and I differ on this. I mean, I did love David Byrne's American Utopia. I saw the Netflix version or the Hulu version.
HBO
version.
That's nicely directed.
Never seen Freestyle Love Supreme. But both of those, to me, should be kind of in a different category than a Broadway musical. Even though... I know we've had this discussion.
I'm on the same page with you. I don't disagree with you there.
Okay. I thought we did.
No,
that's
why I'm looking at you going, what are you talking about? I don't disagree.
Sorry. I thought we did. We talked about this last week and I think we talked about it last week, but you didn't know the name of it, but it's the new musical that's going to be previewing at Proctor's in Schenectady. And it is called The Right Girl. And it has been officially announced. And it is going to be, the music is by Diane Warren. And the choreography is by Susan Stroman. And this is one of three shows that's going to be happening at Proctor's, two of which will not be shown to the public at Proctor's. They are previewing, and one of those is Hadestown, and the other is Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations. I find this all very fascinating.
It's fascinating. And my mom is like maybe like a mile away from there. And I was like, are you going to go? What's going to happen? Because she's a season ticket holder there and does a lot of things. It's one of the oldest theaters, last theaters with the pulley system. It's spectacular. And historical on so many different levels. First television broadcast was shown at Proctor's Theater.
Yep. So this is going to be interesting. It's going to be directed and choreographed by Susan Stroman. The cast includes Raymond Karimloo. I can never pronounce his name. Alicia Umfrez, Paige Thower, Adam Jacobs, Jay Elaine Marcos, Steve Rosen, and Cindy Winters. And so the people who are Capitol Repertory Theater subscribers, which perhaps your mother is, will be given priority access to tickets. But no ticket sales have been announced. But I also find it interesting. The whole thing is interesting that they're doing that. And Proctor's was always part of like the pre-Broadway circuit for years and years, as we've talked about. But you don't hear a lot of shows like Hadestown and Ain't Too Proud just going to those theaters to rehearse.
No, so it's still used as normally where a lot of Broadway tours kick off, but you don't really get this is a very big deal for them rehearsing. And I just want to go back to this whole Capitol Rep. When you and I were talking about Albany recently and about theaters, Capitol Rep is one of the few theaters like the Alley that actually has company members and is an Equity and Lort Theater. So it's interesting that this piece is in conjunction with them and they're using the Proctor space. This is so fascinating on so many different levels.
There is a lot.
It's very kind of old school way to make a show go up kind of thing.
Beetlejuice in Korea has been delayed.
I saw that. And I don't think the Koreans were happy. They were very excited it was opening or coming.
Yeah, so it was a Korean language version of Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. And it's not being delayed for reasons that you would assume at this point. It is not COVID related at all, but they just have technical issues.
I was like, it's tech stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like a Spider-Man thing, but.
Well, so it was set to open yesterday when people are listening to this. So on June 29th. And I don't know if it has a new start date, but no, it was postponed originally to the 29th from the 18th. And now it's postponed again. So, July 6th. So not too long, but there it is.
That's why I laughed. I was like, oh, it's a I laughed and I was like, oh, it's like a Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, so that's it for today. You spent an hour with us and we're going to go out listening to something from Beetlejuice, the English language version. And here it is.
You're so smart, a stand-up role. I'll think about your offer, let you know when I prefer my chances. Then.